Good morning. It's good to see everybody here and good to be in God's house. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. And this is our last Christmas message for this month. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the birth of Jesus, the virgin birth of Jesus, that Jesus came, He was born, He lived, and He died, and He gave us hope. He came and fulfilled the promise, and we're so thankful for that today, Lord God. Father, as I preach this message today, Lord, let every word come from You through Your Holy Spirit. And God, as we reflect on this Christmas season, we just pray, dear God, that the gift of love that Jesus gave to us, that we will share that with so many more people around us. And we pray, dear God, that in 2026, we will see growth in our life and our church, that we will see more people added to this church, dear God, and that, Lord, we will see more victory. And we're so thankful, Lord, for that. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. The birth of the Messiah. Now, you know, this is not going to be the typical birth of Jesus message, but we know that this birth had to take place for you and I to have any hope at all in the days ahead, even for eternity. But the birth of the Messiah had been prophesied about in the Old Testament, and that I want you to keep that in the forefront of your mind as I bring this message today. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, so many thousands of years before Jesus was ever born, it was being prophesied up until the day that it happened. Now, first thing I want to look at today was the angel's proclamation in verse 10. The angel says, Fear not. These were the first words spoken by the angel to dispel fear. It signals a message of peace and hope. It was not a threat despite the extraordinary event. Now, I want you to know that when Jesus was born, now you know how it is. I don't know how many of you ever walked through the hallways of Carbondale Hospital, but when a baby is born, you hear the lullaby being played on the speakers. And anytime I'm in the hospital and I hear that lullaby, my heart is filled with joy for the family that's experiencing the birth of either a baby boy or a baby girl. And then my prayer, I may not know a family, but my prayer goes out that that family will raise that child in the ways of the Lord and hoping that it would grow up to be a fine young man or woman. But this event that happened, the birth of Jesus, it was so extraordinary. I mean, there were wonders and there were things going on in the heavens. And the angel came and said, Fear not, because the angel didn't want the people upon the earth to be afraid as what was happening. This was announced that it would happen, but I don't think that they were quite prepared for the heavenly host and all that was going on. How many of you would be prepared for such an event like that? You're going about minding your own business, and then all of a sudden, the sky lights up and all the angels show up and they're announcing the birth of Jesus. Now, I tell you what, I might be scared at first because you know how I was out in the garage yesterday and I was sweeping the floor and I wasn't really paying much attention. And about that time, here comes Janine, opens that door and says something. Well, when I've got my attention elsewhere, well, I jumped about this high off the floor and hollered. And you would have thought Jesus was born or something. I don't know. But the angel was just letting them know that this was a message of peace and hope. See, the Messiah is here now. That's what was told of them, that Jesus would be born, that he would be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. It was a good news of great joy. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. This is great joy. This is not a fleeting happiness. This is not a temporary feeling. This was something very profound, and it's a long-lasting joy that comes from knowing God's plan for humanity is starting to unfold. Now, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you know what he's done for you, that ought to bring you great joy. I want to encourage you in life. Don't reflect on each and every day of your life. Please don't reflect on the negative things that may be going on in each and every one of our lives and in our hearts or our thoughts. But if we would turn our attention to the birth of Jesus, to the promise that was fulfilled, and if we look ahead for us, we have become Christians because Jesus died on the cross. God had a plan for humans, and here at his birth, it's starting to happen. The people were told and told and told in years past that this birth was coming, and the Old Testament does never say it, but I wonder how many people back in the Old Testament would say, yeah, we've been hearing about this for who knows how long now. When's it going to happen? Kind of reminds you of today. We ought to have great joy. See, Jesus came once in human form, but I want to give you something this morning that's going to give you even greater joy. Jesus is coming again. This time, he's not coming as a baby. He is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is coming to be the way maker. He is Alpha and Omega. He is I Am. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He will be coming in great power and great glory. So back in those days when people were probably doubting the birth of Jesus, I wonder how many people today, they're hearing about Jesus' return, but yet people are saying, well, where is he? Where's the signs of him coming back? We've been hearing about it for years. We don't know the day or the hour, but I want to proclaim to you that Jesus is coming, and when he appears in the sky, when he appears in the eastern sky, the trumpet's going to sound. The Bible says that the dead in Christ, they will be raised, and those of us who are remaining will be quickly changed and caught up to meet them in the air. And what does the Bible say about that? Forever we will be with the Lord. Now that should bring you great joy right now today. That should dispel your unhappiness. That ought to turn your frown upside down, and that ought to make you smile. Because when joy comes from hearing God's plan, when you hear God's word being spoken into your heart and life, you should know that you have a home in heaven, that God has the battle won. The victory is ours through Jesus Christ. So take a hold of what the Lord has given us and be joyful about it and share it with every person that you come into contact with. So see, God's plan for humanity is still unfolding. If Jesus is going to be coming back, then we also know that there's a time of tribulation. And then we know that the devil will also be bound for a time of 1,000 years. And at the end of the ages, after the great white throne judgment, when Satan and all of those who have followed him are cast into a lake of fire, then we will be forever with God. So see, it's still unfolding. But Jesus' birth I mean, that's the most monumental birth that ever happened in Bethlehem. There was never any other baby born that was as special as the Son of God. I mean, here we are. This is God, His Son, taking human flesh. There is no other baby like Him. Oh, I tell you, I've imagined many times in my life. How many of you ever watched Christmas Story? Anybody ever watch that, Ralphie and his BB gun? I watched that yesterday. And, you know, Ralphie does a lot of daydreaming. Well, I'm kind of like Ralphie. There's been times, so many times in my life, I have daydreamed and I have thought to myself, what would it have been like for me to have been there and seen Jesus? What feelings would I have had? Well, I know that there would have been an abounding joy and there would have been a peace like I never felt before, because the greatest gift ever given to me, it's right before me. Well, I have to look at it this way. I'm alive here now. I wasn't there, but the Bible says it happened, and I believe that it happened, and that was handed down to us over the generations, and it's up to you and I to grasp it. It is up to us to believe it and to remain joyful and vigilant and to be witnesses of this miraculous birth. Now, it's for all the people. The message of salvation is not exclusive. It wasn't given for just a certain group of people or a certain nation. It's universal, which means it's for every single person. The gospel, what Jesus has done, it was meant for every single person that would ever live on the face of this earth. See, God looked ahead at humanity. And when God looked at humanity, God saw the end for humanity. And God's love was so great for you and I that He did not want all of humanity. Now, I want you to think about this. How many people have been alive since Adam and Eve? How many people? Well, we don't know. We can, now, God knows the number of people. That's what's great and wonderful about Him. But we don't know how many people have been alive and how many more past us will live in the future. But God knew, and God saw that it was going to take one person to make amends for our sin. It wasn't God's plan for every single person that He created to perish, so He sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins, to shed His blood on the cross that would reconcile us back to God once again. So that too should give us a reason to be joyful. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't know how in the world we can come into church and have a frown on our face or have a down and a heavy heart. I don't understand it. If we are Christian people, then we should be the ones who have a light radiating from us. When people look at you in public and they know you go to Boscadel Baptist Church, you're not there representing Boscadel Baptist Church in the community. You're out there representing Jesus Christ. And if so in doing, you should be telling others what He has done for you. If you share, now, some people will look at you like you're nuts, like you don't have enough bricks in your wall. Maybe you don't have enough French fries in your Happy Meal. That's how folks will look at you. But you continue to live for Christ. People thought He was nuts for saying He was the Son of God. How many times did Jesus tell people He was the Son of God and people did not believe Him? They scoffed Him, they mocked Him, they cursed Him, they drove Him out, and many plotted to kill Him. way before it was his own time. Now, I took verse 11 and I kind of went from the bottom to the top. So bear with me here. Savior, Christ the Lord. This identifies who baby Jesus is. Now, when you were born, your parents gave you a name. Now, my name was given to me legally, Jimmy Glenn Cooper. Now, my name signified who I was and what family I belonged to. Now, my name doesn't mean anything like this name here. Savior, Christ the Lord. This identified baby Jesus, but it identifies him as the Son of God, and it also identifies him as the name above every name, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, that he is the Son of God. When we look upon the birth of Jesus, as I said earlier, this is not just a normal birth. This is an extraordinary birth. This is something that I can't wrap my mind around. How could somebody love me? But that's how righteous God is. That's how loving and good my God is. He gave his only perfect son to become a sacrifice, that he would take the darkness of our sins upon himself. And I want you to know, when Jesus hung on that cross, he was separated from God the Father. Because you know that, because the veil of the temple ripped from the bottom to the top. The earth shook. It got dark as could be. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God the Father could not stand to see his own son covered in our sin, but that's what he had to do for us. That's why he is Savior. That's why he is Christ our Lord. Savior means the one who saves people from their sins. He did save each and every one of us, but it's up to us to come to the conclusion and come to the point in our life that we say, I need a Savior. I've lived a dark, sinful, dirty life, and I need a Savior. I don't want to perish for eternity in hell, but I need Jesus. And that's why he gave his life and shed his blood to cleanse you from your sins. Christ means the promised Messiah, the anointed one. Messiah is the promised deliverer of the Jewish nation. It was prophesied in the Bible. An anointed is referred to a person who is set apart for a specific holy task, such as king or priest. Jesus Christ, King, set apart. He was appointed to be born. He was appointed to die. He was appointed to be raised from the dead on the third day, and it is appointed for him to return once again. And for that, I have to say hallelujah and praise God for his wonderful and abundant blessings. This is the specific holy task that God set apart for his son. How would you have reacted if God had come to maybe one of us and said, I want you to die for the sins of the world, how would you be the one to take it? I can't fathom, and I always reflect on this in my mind, I can't fathom the punishment that he took. I mean, I'm sure Jesus did not go through each day of his life dwelling on what was awaiting him. He knew he had to die. Now, when Jesus went into the garden to pray, they came and arrested him. He did not resist. He went and stood trial. He did not say a word. He didn't put up a fight. He got beat and flogged. And then he went to a cross and was nailed. And at that point, he could have called 10,000 angels to come and rescue him. And he could have gotten off of that cross and never died. But his love is what led him through all of it. When he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. A king died for you. You know what we are? We're his servants. We're his children. And what he did, that's the most phenomenal thing that ever occurred in this world. I hear people each and every day talking about events of what's going on in the news. I'm sorry, I'm not being a hard-nosed person when I say this, but I don't care. I just don't care what other piddly stuff goes on in the news. Someone's going on the other day about the Epstein files. I said, I don't care. I just don't. What I care about is telling the world about Jesus. We were given a charge as Christian people to come and deliver a message. God gave us a voice. He put breath in your lungs. He put life into your body, and he gave you a charge, and that was to go into the world and tell every single person about Jesus, the King, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Lord, God's divine presence in human form, God incarnate. Now, I think we need to really sit and soak that up. We really need to reflect on that and what it means to us. I mean, God's divine presence in human form? Wow. Now, we know that God appeared in the Old Testament times, as a fire in a bush, and he would tell people, don't look upon me, because he was so great and mighty, they'd drop dead. Now, isn't that pretty powerful? But he came and brought his presence and became a human being. A king became a servant. Can you imagine? Now, that's a lot of love. I don't know that I could have that much love for anybody in the world. I pray every day for God to give me the kind of love that Jesus has. But when I think about what he's done for me, God incarnate, he made a way where I couldn't make the way. I couldn't make it happen, but he made it happen. And all I had to do was freely take the gift. Last night, we were having our family Christmas, and we had probably, I want to say, 40 people crammed out in our son's pole barn and garage. And we had food. There was laughter. There were kids playing. There were people hugging and loving on each other and just having a good time. Gifts were opened up. And I was thinking, man, somebody gave me a gift last night. They gave me a box and then a little bag. And all I had to do was reach out, and it was a free gift. I didn't have to go and stand on my head in the corner to receive the gift. I didn't have to go run and scale a mountainside to get this gift. A person in my family came and brought me the gifts and gave them. And I said, thank you. Thank you. So I've received a gift. I've received the love and the life that Jesus poured out for me. And for that, I say, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. And this Christmas season, I mean, yeah, we read these or see these movies on TV and about Ebenezer Scrooge, and I talked about that last Sunday. I ain't going to go into that again. But it seems like when Christmas rolls around, it seems like that's when people, this is every day of the year. I'm not saying you have to go around 365 days telling people Merry Christmas. They might look at you like you're a little baddie for sure. But what I'm saying is Christmas is about Jesus. And it should live and resound within our hearts and lives. And the pure and ecstatic joy that comes from God, it ought to be reflected in our lives each and every day. Now, this birth took place, the Bible says, in the city of David. That points to Bethlehem. That's where the birth was supposed to have occurred. If you read Micah 5:2, it relates to the Messiah's birthplace and the event. Micah 5:2. And it fulfills Old Testament prophecy. When Jesus was born, it fulfilled the prophecy of the Old Testament. When Jesus comes again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it will fulfill the prophecy of the New Testament. And when He comes, I hope that all of us, I'm not being judgmental now when I say this, but I hope that all of us end up for eternity with Jesus Christ. Now, when I think about that, wow, I'm not going to have to walk into another hospital. I'm not going to have to walk into another funeral home. I'm not going to have to stand and try to counsel a family to why their child has died. I'm not going to have to do that again. I'm going to be in heaven for all of eternity with my Lord and my Savior. So for that, I'm joyful now. I make my choice to be happy this moment. The Christian text is revealing Jesus' divine identity and His mission. It connects the birth of Jesus to His ultimate purpose, saving humanity from sin and death and promising reconciliation with God. Man, that's a lot right there. That's a whole lot right there. He has reconciled us to God. There was a great divide between us and God, and sin caused it. Man's sin caused it. But the moment that you got saved and you decided you were going to live your life for Him, then the shed blood of Jesus washed away your sin. And that gap, but basically, when He died on the cross, He bridged that gap. But now it's up to us to take the gift and walk across that. Don't you like when a new bridge goes in, you can get from one place to another? How many of you have ever known a bridge going to be worked on, you couldn't go, and you think, man, that was one of my favorite ways to drive. But when they get that bridge done, why, first thing people get up and you see people. Well, it's like that with God. When we become Christians, we were not allowed to get across that gap, but Jesus made it possible, and we should be running to get across that bridge, and we should be running and dropping at the feet of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and thanking Him for what He did for us. And I want to encourage you, and I want to put the charge to you and myself this Thursday morning when you wake up. You won't hurry up and go running in and open a present from under the tree, but I pray that you'll bow on your knees before the Lord God Almighty and that you'll thank Him for the greatest gift you'll ever receive, the birth of the Messiah. There's so much has to be said for what happened that day, but all I can tell you is our sins were washed away in the blood of Jesus. And we were made whiter than snow when we came to Him and accepted Him as Savior and Lord. And He gave you a brand new life, a brand new start. So I pray and charge you. I want to charge you that when we end 2025, we have one more Sunday left in December. I ain't going to tell you what the sermon's about next week. But we're going to be going into 2026. And I tell you, I don't know about you, I don't want to drag any baggage with me from 2025 into 2026. I'll lay it all at the Savior's feet and say, Lord, here it is. I can't do anything about it, but You can. So I need you to walk with me, because see, his grace is sufficient.